AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM from snowy Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area and all the way up the coast. Got a nice dose of heavy, heavy snow and sleet and everything else. As always, I'm going to ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860, whether they're enjoying a cup of coffee by the radio or a mint julep or whatever, ask them to call a friend and also invite them to tune in here on 860. If you live outside of our broadcast tri-state area, then go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. You received our email this morning at 9 o'clock announcing the show. Email it off to another because today nothing is going to be held back. We have our full panel. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and also Rich Loges, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. We're all on board with you today. Nothing held back. We have to talk about a few very important things because spreading the word has certainly helped us in many ways. We're seeing it in everything that goes on in the media. We're going to talk about the media today. We're going to talk about some of the people that I've spoke to in businesses about jobs that are not being filled because we don't have the skills and everything to go with that. But first, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you, compliment the radio program hosts. We have about 20 radio program hosts that now promote my weekly commentary during their weekend broadcast. Very important. Thank you, gentlemen. I do thank them every Saturday during the variety show. Also, it's time to say thank you to the newspaper editors that are reprinting the weekly commentaries, and also thank the internet site providers that are posting the weekly commentaries promoting Buy American Made. Wow, what a statement. 5 years ago, people thought we would be left out of the area. Today, it's a whole different market. Now, let me just say this also before we go to our panel. The media that has been helping us focus on the attention of America's consumers to buy more, help us restore the industries, please go out of your way to compliment them. It's the smaller media outlets that I see, the local radio stations, the local papers that are doing their best to bring about attention to the Buy American Made campaign. They also promote National Small Business Weekend. And during that particular weekend, we ask people to support their local businesses throughout the year, every day. And then when you can, during that National Small Business Weekend effort. A lot of the major media, unfortunately, still is focused on everybody that they feel is bad in America, but not talking about the ways that we could get jobs back, get skills back, get people working so they can support themselves and their families. None of that is ever discussed. It's always this one's no good, that one's no good, and that has really wasted a lot of time in the USA. The bottom line is, please thank your local papers, your local internet people, if you know them, and your broadcasters, because they are helping us restore the Made in America label. We'll be talking about that today. But first, I want to go to our panel. Tell me, guys, what's happening. I want you to know, because you're all out of the area, Philadelphia, Henry's angered today because he had to shovel. Oh, people were out with shovels. The ice, the wind was unbelievable. We talked about you yesterday, Mark. We were out in the snow, and they said, well, this is what Mr. Andel does. I said, oh, call him Mark, Mr. too distinguished. He'll get upset if he's known as Mr. Andel. But Mr. Andel's beautiful article that appeared in the newspaper, it was in the Los Angeles Times, is on the front page of American Workers Radio, right on the right side. Just go right under the National Small Business Weekend. And click on that link. You'll see a video of Mark walking through the store and a very nice clip that appeared in the paper with some great facts. So, Mark, we were thinking about you. We were talking about you. And believe me when I tell you, we know what you've been going through for many, many years up in Buffalo. This was a storm that really rocked people to their socks.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And I think Rich is on, Lark and Henry. Yeah, Mike, let me start. Last Wednesday, right after the show, we end up getting a windstorm. Plant 1 is in, right by Buffalo, and our Plant 4, we called, is in Rochester. Well, Rochester Airport clocked 83-mile-an-hour winds. That brought down 838 telephone poles in Rochester. Unbelievable. So we had no power there from Wednesday to Sunday, no power at all at the plant, my plant in Rochester. And then many of my guys here didn't have power for 4 or 5 days. And then the snowstorm comes. And, of course, they blame me for it because we're in the snow removal business. And, I've been plowing yesterday and today. We've got about 16, 17 inches, but they first time ever they put the complete state of New York in a state of emergency, all 62 counties. So it stopped all the trucks or any trucks, UPS, anything, couldn't go down the throughways right away. It didn't come on as strong at first. It was only 4 inches yesterday, but then overnight we got more. And, it's what they tried to do. Of course, New York City's in that too. But it's been quite a few days, very cold. It's more like the middle of January than 5 days away from spring here.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Yeah. So
and Larkin, too, and Larkin, I want to ask you, Larkin, were you at any airports lately?
Yes. Matter of fact, I was. Good morning, everybody, from sunny Florida, where my biggest problem today is making the ice last in my drink.
Mm.
It just keeps on melting all the time. It's such a problem. But I hate to rub that in. But, there's life is full of paybacks. Last Friday afternoon, I spent 7.5 hours in LaGuardia Airport, which, for those of you who have never been to LaGuardia, it is tantamount to a third-world nation.
Yep.
I have never in my entire life, that's the first time I've been in LaGuardia, and I can't even tell you how long.
Just getting there is going through hell. Just getting
there. I've been there.
By ground, it's almost virtually impossible.
That was Loge's favorite airport, I understand.
Oh, my Lord. But at any rate, it took me, I didn't get home until Saturday afternoon. And at LaGuardia, they wouldn't, to get from A, B, C, D, there might be an app, I'm not sure. But I was in Terminal B. There wasn't an ounce of liquor on the concourse. There wasn't a sit-down restaurant on the concourse. And so I got about three guys together, and we said, we were going to storm the Bastille and go find a drink. nobody wants to sit around that long without having a sip of, Nectars of the God. At any rate, if you leave and the weather condition changes, you lose your seat. And on top of that, it's like a 45-minute drive to get out to the curbside to get to the new concourse, to get through the security at the new concourse. It's like it's just ridiculous. So the next time any one of my New York friends gives me that pompous how great New York is speech, I'm going to remind him of what his main airport looks like. I mean, there are places in this country that don't have water that are in better shape than that airport. they literally ought to be ashamed of themselves. If I was from New York, I would be ashamed of anybody that brought up the subject of that airport. I've never been through anything like it in my life. So, yes, I was stuck in LaGuardia last week, Friday evening, trying to get home for the weekend.
Well, they announced over the last few days that there were thousands of flights canceled. And I, as we were out in the snow yesterday, I thought, I wonder if Larkin, you know, had a meeting scheduled somewhere and is sitting in a canceled flight airport. You know, maybe you got your mint julep in hand or whatever.
I also want to know your friend that's drinking mint juleps. I don't know. If he's in Philadelphia, I'm going to forego the snow and just come up here and have a good mint julep. I haven't had a good mint julep since the last Kentucky Derby.
And Rich, how are you doing?
Good morning. Happy to be back, Michael. Lark and Mark, our listeners. Henry, good morning. A couple of things, Michael. First off, I just want to give Tim at the station a heads up. He better have that delay button ready for me today. Okay, so I'm just letting Tim know right now because I believe in being right up front and transparent. You know, Larkin, I don't understand something. Perhaps you can enlighten me about your comment about LaGuardia. Is not New York City the wealthiest city on this planet?
No.
I mean, it's up there. It's up there, though, isn't it?
It's way up there.
Yeah, way up there. I mean, okay, so maybe it's two. Maybe it's three.
What do you mean by what are you measuring wealthy?
How many billionaires are in New York? I think only Moscow has more billionaires in it. Now, I've never been to Moscow. I have friends here who are from Russia, and here's what I know from talking to people who are from Russia. It's primarily a third-world country, except, of course, for the parts where the gazillionaires are. Well, there are a lot of gazillionaires also, Mark, in New York City. So why is it that anything in New York City, with all of those billionaires who could pay a lot of tax, why isn't that airport the shiniest thing known to man? And I'll tell you why it's not. Because in reality, when it comes to wealthy progressives, they just want people who are wealthier to pay more in tax. Now, I'm not going to name her name.
Go ahead.
Because I'm not going to give credence to what was just a stunt, the same as you would see on a reality television show. But Rachel Maddow earns $25,000 a day. I did the math. $25,000 per day. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, she doesn't deserve that. Why does she get paid that? This is a free market, baby. She gets paid that because there are enough morons who watch MSNBC, that show, consistently, okay? Because the viewers of MSNBC and CNN who watch that stuff religiously, I call them affectionately tyrants, weirdos, and morons. So I'm not going to sit here and say that she doesn't deserve that. You don't like it? You turn it off, right? Isn't that, Mark, what we believe, right? We believe that in free enterprise. If you don't like something, don't eat it, don't buy it, don't watch it, don't rub it on your skin, don't do whatever the hell you want to do with it. But why is it? Why is it that the media has been able to perpetrate very well, I may add, this myth, this fake narrative that millionaires and billionaires and their progeny are not part of the base of the Democratic Party? So, Michael, you want to talk about media. Well, I'm going to say the same thing to you the same way that I said, same thing I said to people during this election. Turn off the television. Stop reading the billionaire. It's a billionaire's blogs. The New York Times and the Washington Post are billionaire's blogs. Jeff Bezos, whom I said on this show, I admire what he's done with Amazon. He's changed the face of commerce and internet forever. But Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post knowing that he would lose money. Now, billionaires, Larkin, don't buy stuff knowing that they're going to lose money, but they seem to make exceptions for political zealousness. Of course, supportive of the Democratic Party. Now, Michael, I want to issue a very polite challenge to all of the Democrats you know who listen to this radio show. And I want them to call in, preferably right now, so they could come on air and say, well, this is what the sales pitch of the Democratic Party is. I want to hear, Michael, the sales pitch. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to interrupt. Excuse me. I'm not going to question. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate. I'm going to sit here and shut up. But I want to hear what the actual sales pitch, because everything in life is sales. Mark, just ask your wife. trust me, you got to sell her on marrying you. And like Larkin says, he married up. Well, I stole that one because I tell everybody all the time I married up. So everything in life is sales. I'm not good at sales. Well, you're selling me on why you're not good at sales. I want to hear the sales pitch, Michael. What is it? What is the sales pitch of the National Democratic Party? I want to hear it.
Well, yesterday, Rich, what they tried to sell and hoped that they would find in those reports is that Trump paid nothing. Instead, they found that he, out of $150 billion, he paid $38 million in taxes, and which was 25% of the income he gained. So that's the bottom line. They were hoping, and when it didn't turn out, they didn't know which way to go. And today, everywhere I went and every station that I tuned in on the way down complained that it was a terrible program. Nothing was learned other than the fact that Trump pays a lot of taxes.
Michael, I'm going to say, excuse me, guys, just one. Now, there's, of course, read the Internet. Who knows what's going on? But I'm going to say this right now. If this was provided to the reporter who gave it to MSNBC, which, just in case anyone's realizing, the MS in MSNBC stands for Microsoft. So that'll show you where their political allegiances are also. And again, you can't help but respect and admire the hell out of a guy like Bill Gates. But again, hardcore Democrat. Okay, so let's just be honest. We got to get it all on the table here as part of the sales pitch. So if that was provided, Michael, by someone within the government to give that to a reporter, to give it to MSNBC, that means that we, if we're not there already, and I'd argue we probably are, but if we're not there already, we're entering Stalinist America. Okay, we are entering where, if you go back and think about in our mythology classes, remember learning about the Hydra, that 10-headed monster? Well, this is exactly the thing right now that is, and by the way, is bipartisan. Okay, it's not just the Democrats. You've got them both there. You've got some of these people in the government. I was just reading a published report, Larkin, have been there since Richard Nixon. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That's true. Yeah,
are
several.
Is that real? I had a check. I'm looking at that. That can't be real. That can't be real.
Unfortunately.
And that's exactly why they're living in the bubble. A major problem in America they have no desire to address. Companies who can't find enough workers to keep their factories operating smoothly right now are blaming the government and the elected officials for not pushing the school districts all over the country with our federal tax dollars to keep the trades in the schools. For one interesting note, the gentleman, the president of Siemens Corporation, reported not being able to find enough skilled workers in the United States to operate his factory, a sentiment that's been echoed by numerous other industries, manufacturing. Okay, Dennis Winslow, the owner, another store owner of aerospace manufacturing company, said in a CNN report, there are so many unemployed people in the country, but I can't find the skilled people we need. If I did, I could hire them tomorrow. By the way, Mark, you are very close to Fisher Price. I want you to know that when you call Fisher Price, you will be told, and I'm going to, if you want, I can give you the number, the 800 number. You could look it up online and get it. And in fact, maybe this is a nice opportunity for you, Mark, to contact Fisher Price and say, guys, I would like to have some 100% Fisher Price toys in my store. When you call Fisher Price and you question why everything is made foreign, they say, well, there's been a change in the way people are interested in working in America. So we had to take it where the people with the skills we need to manufacture our products are located, which in this case is Hong Kong. The other case is Laugh and Learn Storybook Rhythms by Fisher Price. Everybody, give them a call. I want to see people like Mark be able to have Fisher Price toys in his store. not just the location of their corporate headquarters, a few miles from your location there.
And why aren't they talking? You know, they bring up 2005 Donald Trump's tax return. He makes $150 million, pays $35 million. If you take depreciation off, which you can write off 15 to 39 years and do everything, he used the tax system legally, and he still paid $35 million back in. So being a doer and entrepreneur and the livelihoods that he created by living his dream is incredible. That should be talked about, but the skilled trade shortage should be talked about too. And, Mike, I want to bring back up, guys, the L.A. Times interview, because this Barbara that was a reporter, that was good press. She went above and beyond understanding and getting what we were doing, what our team has done over 6 years, and went above and beyond. And that generated many radio shows from Canada to L.A. And tomorrow we've got CBS This Morning Show flying out to do a special on us. So, guys, we're making a difference. And sure. I want to be, you know, I'm proud of all of us. And you will be mentioned, Mike, in your show. And that'll be tomorrow at noon. So good things are coming. There are good journalists out there. And, boy, when they step up and realize and get it, it's nice to see also.
Yeah, and, so and Michael,
Mark,
can I just,
Mark, you're going to be on CBS Morning Show?
Yeah, it's called This Morning.
I triple dog dare you for that network. I triple dog dare you to wear a T-shirt that says, the only good progressive is a dead progressive. I double dare you. They will black that out. They will they won't show that. They'll
I always said my father was going to do my last interview, but...
Oh, Lord.
Mark.
They did put because China's a long drive to work in the L.A. Times video, if you notice that.
And, and Mark, make sure you get all of that recorded so we can put it on our site.
So
and mention it again. When is that going to be on?
They're going to record tomorrow. They're going to fly in tomorrow from New York City National, and they're going to record it and let us know within the next week what day it's going to air. The show is a two-hour show that airs in the morning, and it competes with Good Morning America and the Today Show. So it's a great honor, and we will do our best.
And, Mark, you're the man who really gives encouragement to people. I want people to come to you and say, Mark, I've heard your appeal. I see what you're doing. I want to be the first person that gives you a 100% Made in America toaster, radio, or whatever. You know, some of the older people that I speak with tell me, you know, Michael, this is weird. All for years and years, we made transistor radios, we made irons, we made everything with no foreign components whatsoever.
Yes.
Where did this come in that we have to do this globalization business?
A lot of these interviews and articles, they're asking me a question, too. With Donald Trump saying, buy American, hire American, what do you think? I said, I think it's a good start to say it. You
yes,
know?
Because we haven't heard it for many, many decades.
It's okay to say it.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow is when the initial proposed federal budget is supposed to be released. From the reports I've read about it, Michael, there are going to be some major super-duper cuts. Now, people ask me all the time, Rich, that doesn't make any sense. Why are millionaires and billionaires predominantly Democrat? And I say, well, here's why. Millionaires and billionaires love big government and overregulated government. Why, Larkin? Because it suppresses competition. Larkin, I defer to you on all matters economic.
Okay, so
am I wrong on this?
No, let me throw one on top of this that you're going to love. That absolutely accentuates your point. You know, Barack Obama almost single-handedly killed the coal industry. He almost buried the entire state of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee. I mean, he single-handedly, and I don't think the entire time of his presidency he stepped foot in the state of West Virginia. He was so embarrassed about it. But at any rate, who was Barack Obama's greatest supporter? George Soros. That great hedge fund legend, George Soros. He was the major financial backer of Obama's clean energy policy. So what did they do to the coal industry? They ran the price of coal so low and made it so untenable that mines left and right were closing in West Virginia and people were being thrown out of work.
So with the price of coal that low, George Soros and his Soros fund management firm bought shares of the country's two largest coal producers in the second quarter of last year, according to SEC filings, and they had to kind of hunt these things down. The companies are Peabody Energy and Arch Coal. Soros bought more than 1 million shares of Peabody and 553 shares of Arch Coal at an inordinately depressed price. That sucks. There's not another word I can use.
That's destroying an industry.
I mean,
and then buying it because he knows that we can't do without coal.
I'm asking Michael, can someone please just call in and say, well, guys, here's why your mistake, and I'll listen. I want to hear it. I don't care about me being right, Michael. I care about the facts. You know what group of people did the best in the last 8 years? Gazillionaires. Now, to be fair about this point, gazillionaires always win. This is just another Democratic Party red herring issue. I mentioned at the outset of the show that Moscow has the most billionaires of any city in America, in a third world country. Well, obviously, Michael, gazillionaires, any ism you show me in the world, I'll promise you gazillionaires have done well. Capitalism, communism, socialism, fascism, theocracy, whatever other ism you want to throw in the conversation, I promise you. Now, why do millionaires, gazillionaires always win? Because government will never outsmart business, ever. So this is a big red herring issue where they just go out and Elizabeth Warren and all these guys go out and say, let's go for the rich, let's go after the rich. And all the people in the audience who can be convinced into believing anything and whose political platform can be debunked by a simple internet search, go there and rah, rah, rah. Meanwhile, Larkin, I will bet you that half, if not more, of the people who go to an Elizabeth Warren rally don't even actually know what their monthly expenses are because the bill don't go to them. It goes to their parents. Now, I got a question for everyone. You want those people picking your government?
Now, I'm going to ask Larkin.
Larkin
a question. Very good. Well said. Here's the question. You mentioned Elizabeth Warren. I'd like to see her come up with an internet list that we can all see of all the big money people that she thinks should be paying more taxes that would reduce our $20 trillion debt and help our annual budget in America. They talk, but never present the list. How many thousands of people would be on the list? 10,000, 20,000? Somebody in her office should have been working on that a long time ago to give us a comparison. Give us a comparison.
Two-thirds of Hollywood's not paying the taxes that she paid.
Well, she should identify them accordingly.
You don't think Hollywood's filled with these fantasies, lives that charge $100 million to do a feature film? You really think they're paying 30% of that money to the government? Seriously? You really
Good
think
point,
so?
Larkin.
No, I don't.
Larkin, it's an industry that pretends for a living and, of course, votes predominantly Democrat. Now, today, I understand today's Beat Up the Democrats Day, which I like to. Let's make every day national Beat Up the Democrats Day as far as I'm concerned. But let's not forget the other side.
I don't want to beat anybody up, Rich. I want people
to
come forward. I want them to come forward and give us ideas.
Michael, what do you think?
I want to know when Elizabeth Warren will contact Fisher Price and ask them, when the hell are they going to do some manufacturing of toys in Buffalo, New York area so we can get them on distribution all over the country.
I'm not advocating violence. Tim, just so you know, you don't need to delay me on that. It was just an expression, a figure of speech, okay? You guys can't see it, but I'm on my knees right now begging for somebody to call in today, preferably, or any time, and say, here's why you're wrong. Here's why you're mistaken. Here's an alternative point of view. If there's one thing about this radio show that I've come to admire and respect, perhaps most about anything, I think that this show here is pretty damn independent. I do. I mean, I think it is, okay? I think that it is because you go back and listen to these shows, and everyone's at our crosshairs, and that's exactly how it should be in a democracy. But I'm not sitting here saying let's suppress the other side. I'm not saying let's go and create some bonfires and riots and violence to prevent speech from the other side. I'm sitting here saying, please, we're inviting. We want you to come on. We want you to give a perspective. Let's make this. Let's do it. Again, I'll shut up. I'll sit back.
Rich,
it's good to have you back, Rich.
Rich, I have to tell you, so glad you're back. You know, Rich, I want to tell you something. If I'm welcoming Democrats, Republicans, Independents to start making those lists and check
union,
them twice. And
union members.
Everybody, let's hear where the big money is that they keep talking about. I've been hearing about it for years. The rich have to pay more. Okay, identify them. Identify them and let's then sagaciate it ourselves and see exactly what has to be done. Would that really help? Or would more jobs help? You know, I was working recently with some people in the clothing industries, Botany 500 supervisors and all that closed and moved abroad. They said, Michael, let me tell you something. You could have 10 or 15 million jobs back in America in 2 years in the clothing industry if the workers were ready to be part of the clothing industry again. If there were jobs, they would come. And by the way, many of the people who immigrated to this country over the last 25 years are working age, and they have the talents to go into the clothing industry. But the clothing industry went out, took all their stuff with them, reset up all their factories overseas, left our people unemployed, left our people on unemployment lines or on welfare, and nobody's addressing it.
Yeah,
why isn't Elizabeth Warren banging her hand and freaking out in front of microphones to make that point?
Mike, and Made in America is alive and well. That's what all these interviews, and you know, it's alive and well. President Trump's mentioned buy American, you know, hire American. We need to keep talking about it. It's working. Again, I believe it'll take care of most of the problems. Like you said, there's doers and users. We need less users, more doers, but we have to leave them and let them have the opportunity to be a doer. And I think we're going to see it. I mean, every day, every week this year, it's just going to grow and grow. But our listeners can make a difference with their purchase. Keep
purchase,
that in mind.
Absolutely. And I'm going to plead with everybody to make sure you go out and look at every item as I do. When I walk into certain stores, which I go there for other reasons, but I go into the stores, I look at everything, I make an example of myself. When people tell me, oh, I don't like to do that, I feel funny about it. Why? You're stopping the livelihood of one of your family members, maybe your neighbors, from having that available where they live. Coming from abroad, all that does is bring the container in, take it to the store, stock it up. Somebody stands behind the cash register, scans it, and goodbye. What about making the product? I think it's a horrible example for our young people to have no jobs available that they could look into the future and say, that's what I want to be. Larkin, when you and I were in school, they asked the questions. What do you feel you would be best to do in the future? There were tests. There were people who came around and talked about this industry and that industry. Today, it's only the policemen and the firemen. How about the other people from the other industries, from the unemployment offices? They used to come around and see what the kids are. Industries spoke up. They're not speaking up now because they're located somewhere else.
Well, that is, in fact, the truth. And I still think that we all have a responsibility to, and I will source the book, but to read a book that captures this event in American history, why and how it happened. There's you know, no question that originally it was done by larger companies to cut costs. And the number one cost in just about anybody's income statement is payroll. And if you can hack payroll in half by moving to China or cut your cost literally in half by moving to China, then there's absolutely no reason in the world why you wouldn't have done that, because your responsibility or the people that made that decision's responsibility was to their shareholder. So there obviously was a flaw in the system, that allowed them to get away with it. I mean, if they really wanted to find justification, they could find justification.
I know, but Larkin, do you agree that there's been a flaw in the system of people who were elected and paid to represent us by not speaking up? How can parents feel good about sending their children to school knowing right now, unless America's youth are offered job skill training starting at the seventh grade, there's no way they're going to become skilled workers at anything, whether it's a lawyer, a welder, a plumber, unless they get that in their early life. Example, you lead by example. These people in Washington have done no example that I want to follow.
No, there's not a decent one of them in the pack. There's not a one of them that hasn't cheated. There's not a one of them that hasn't obviated their responsibilities to their electorate in the name of getting reelected. And that's really their primary goal in life. I hate to even say that about a guy like John McCain, who is a modern day hero, but he's been in Washington too long.
Yes, and in fact, Larkin, I John McCain, God bless him as a hero. There's only one thing that I have a problem with John McCain. He's always got a negative statement to make, and I'm going to make a negative statement about him. Our Veterans Administration has been in the toilet for more than 30 years. Where is his testimony to speak up against what was happening to the all the veterans hospitals across the United States? He's not a policymaker. He's just in there. Well, become a policymaker. Show me your proof where you spoke up loud and clear and documented where you want to help the hospitals so that we don't waste our money and waste our lives. Our people served this country. They came back. And John McCain should have been the first person as a war hero to say, we must always look out for those who have served us.
But there's no profit in that. There's no political hackery involved in making a system like that better. They want to get reelected. You know, I know that the Democrats have already said they've made the statement publicly. They plan to vote for nothing that is put forward by Trump or his organization. And you know, in retrospect, that really is a tit for tat type thing, because essentially, Mitch McConnell said the same thing when what's his name was elected. But my question to them is, all partisan politics aside, at what point do we decide that it's really necessary to be a statesman and to put politics to the side for the betterment of the country? Everybody agrees that Obamacare doesn't work, but now all they want to do is get in front of that camera. That's so important to Swimmer or Simmer or Sam or whatever his name is, Schumer. It's, you know, if he has nothing to say unless there's a camera. You give him a camera, and boy, he runs his mouth until he can't stand it anymore. But it's a show. It's a show. It's a popularity show. It's Schumer has about as much concern for this country as I do for the communist countries. I mean, and that's really, really tough language. That is really tough language. But if his reaction to fixing the health care bill is the reaction that he had last night standing under the dome with a camera in motion, then, shame on him.
Larkin, you're right. And you know what else I would say? Because I have to work in social services, and that's the reality of life. You don't play around with people's lives. Let me say this to you. If Schumer or Warren or any of these people, or what's his name, Ryan, where is everything that they feel would be better documented? They should have been documenting why we need more jobs in America the first day they entered into that elected office. Instead, as I have people researching, I can find nothing that they've ever done to talk about the American-made label, restoring the American label, making taxes better so that people would keep their businesses in America, helping businesses lower the taxes and make sure that the lower taxes educate some young person into doing the skilled jobs that they need. Nothing. It's all bickering. The fact that they would even say in advance of anything that they're not approving of this, they don't like this, or that, shows that these are closed-minded people. You might as well just put blinders on them and have them run down the Capitol steps.
Michael, I and to Larkin's point on this, it's not that I'm going to disagree with you, but I'm going to take it one step further, and I'm going to propose and submit something for consideration for our listeners. I said this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to reiterate this point because I think it's worth repeating. The National Democratic Party is not seeking to win elections right now. Now, that doesn't make sense, perhaps, on the surface, right, Larkin? You said all these guys, you know, men and women, they're just trying to get reelected all the time. True. That's 100% accurate. What I'm saying, in my opinion, based on my observations, the Democratic Party, the candidates, especially the ones who are up in the midterms next year, and then, of course, we get ready for 2020 already. God help us. What I'm saying is that they are not jockeying to win elections. What they are doing is jockeying to keep their existing base, which is tens of millions of people who can be convinced into believing anything. They want them... They want to keep getting them whipped up in this hyper-hysterical, zealous frenzy. They are not trying to win elections, Michael. Now, if that's true, if I'm right on this, if I'm correct on this point, that makes the National Democratic Party even more dangerous than people realize. Because if you're trying to actively win an election, you're creating a sales pitch. You're creating a platform. You're disseminating ideas. You're disseminating policy ideas. Democratic Party's not doing that right now. They're doing the exact opposite of that. They are not positioning themselves to try to win elections. And I am telling you guys that if that's true, and I believe it is, maybe for some it's going to take time, Michael. It's going to take some time. I get it. Some eyebrows are going to be raised, but I'm telling you that if that's true, that makes this current iteration of the Democratic Party the most dangerous political party this country's ever seen. Now, that'll take time to come. People are going to, here goes Rich again with his own hysteria, his hyperbole, his exaggeration. Oh, he loves a flair for the dramatic. It's okay. I understand most people won't accept that, but give it time, and you will see the majority of people will come to agree and accept upon that statement.
I agree, Richard.
Because right now, Michael, the moderate, sensible Democrats in America, and they're there. The Reagan Democrats are still amongst us. I make them sound like zombies. There's so few of them. But they're there. Well, they got nowhere to go right now because their own party isn't pitching them on winning elections. The new slogan of the Democratic Party should be, you can never be too radical. That's what it is. They're not trying to win elections. If I were in business, Mark, trying to not sell, well, what am I in business to do then? What am I in business to launder money? Try to take the – what am I trying to do? What am I doing if my intent is not to grow and succeed and make money and employ people? Democrats don't – because they don't have to worry about their votes for the most part. Now, things might be changing a little bit. That midterm election next year is shaping up to be quite interesting. You've got a bunch of Democrats who are in states. Donald Trump won.
But see, Rich, we're talking about allowing one party to overpower the other. I want all parties to step up to the table,
Michael,
to talk
right.
about
Michael.
What's going to be the betterment of America,
Michael,
for
Michael.
Your daughter Isabella, for my granddaughter Gabriella, for all these young people coming up the ladder, they have to have the stability, not just to be born and to see their family struggle over the years, to look at labels to see it's made in China, Hong Kong, Vietnam. How about the American-made label?
But Michael, that's what you're saying right there is the absolute worst case scenario, and I fear that it is happening. Because the Democrats are so far off the rails right now that no reasonable voter is going to do anything to potentially help a Democrat. So what does that mean? That means that now we're kind of still stuck in neutral on the lesser of two evil thing, and we're going with a candidate. Maybe we'll be good. Maybe. But nationally, now reasonable voters are not going to cast a vote to go and help a Democrat in any way, whether it's third party. And by the way, for everybody who thinks that staying home doesn't influence the outcome, I got news for you. When you stay home, that's a vote for a Democrat. Michael, do you think that I want to just give the Republican Party the power when they're not earning it and they're not trying to go out and win the votes and they're not making a good case to the American people? Of course we don't. I look around the Republicans in Congress, Larkin, and I want their asses to get primaried when they're back up. Now, there are a handful I like, yes.
And primaried is the right way. But that's how we settle this, Larkin. Is that correct? The election settles everything. The fact of the matter is the American people sat back too quiet for too long and allowed it to go on. Now we're begging. Can you believe in this great country we're begging to get back 50% of the products sold in our stores made in America? 25 years ago, 90% was made in America. We're just struggling, trying. Mark, I'm pleading with you this week to contact Fisher-Price and ask them that you want a 100% toy from their manufacturing place.
Oh, we're going to do that, Mike.
I'm telling you, and when you get on that show tomorrow, make sure you let them know that we are struggling to get a 50-50 balance of everything sold in America to be made in America.
Remember, not one item that plugs in, guys. Not
that's
one item in the United States.
Very, very frightening that this has happened.
It what's stops the them in their tracks when you tell
you
me.
Know, when a young person goes out, they go out looking for school supplies or Christmas or whatever, they look at the labels. There's nothing made in the country where they live. Nothing.
We know that.
And this is a disgrace. I mean, it's frightening that young people don't have the example. Maybe some young person would say, I hope to vote to go out and have a job at Fisher-Price or Disney or one of these other places that are selling toys gazoo from overseas, not made in America. There's nothing. They put on a T-shirt, not made in America. They put on shoes, not made in America. They put on underwear, not made in America. So this is a bad example. Who allowed this bad example to continue, Larkin?
Well, I don't care. The horse is already out of the barn. I'm more solution-oriented than I am anything else at this point. We've got to start coming up with answers. I live your passion for this, and I understand that. But at some particular point, we got to stop, hooping and hollering.
I want to say this to you, Larkin, as far as that goes. 5 years ago, we had a little bit of a campaign to go after some of the tire companies. And I don't want to mention the companies, but you'll know by how I'm saying it. They usually send out cards telling you what specials they have, lube jobs and tires and inspections, the whole deal. They were selling 85% of their tires foreign. 15% were made in America. Guess what? Because people were speaking up, because people were asking, when are you going to have a special on those American-made tires? We see Pet Boys and others with a larger number of American-made tires. Firestone, all of them. These days are hearing the words of the people. It is the words of the people, the words of the customers. The credit card where the money doesn't come out makes them understand. If a person comes in, and I'm asking everybody listening, go in and ask about the tires. Maybe you're going to need some tires come the spring. Well, ask them, when do the American-made tires go on sale? That's how we get some of this stuff back. Firestone increased their production in America, not because they wanted to be nice guys, because the customer started to demand it.
Well, I'm not questioning that. But I think as a radio show, We'd be much better off if we came up with some solutions, if we started to talk about what it is that we can do. And I hope that, and I don't ever hope, because I know what Mark will do. He'll kill him. He'll have ABC or CBS either eaten out of the palm of his hand or cutting the hell out of this thing so it doesn't make any sense, because they are a very liberal organization. So all that being said, you know, Mark's going to hit them with the mere facts and tell them that, you know, somewhere along the line, the infrastructure's got to be addressed. That's a solution.
That's a big solution. And you just mentioned it.
Somewhere along the line, we've got to, the government has got to give the SBA and organizations like that a little bit more money so that they can promote the building of plants, so that they can recognize the difference between a secure bet and a risk taker starting something. You know, if Mark would have gone to any one of those community banks up there that he and I talked about some time ago and said, here's my idea, they would have looked at him, you know, and probably gone and gotten them two aspirins and a glass of water and let him sit down and catch his breath. Because nobody was willing at that point to take the risk. But now we've got to convince the government, we've got to convince government agencies, we've got to convince the taxpayers that it's time that we built that infrastructure and that we started those companies, large and small. But listen, manufacturing is so changed right now that it's crazy. It's what has changed in the last 3 years is enough to frighten anybody that has a manufacturing discipline. I'm not talented enough, but if I were, would walk into my office, sit down in front of a 3D printer, and I could draw out and manufacture with a 3D printer the casing or the housing for a toaster.
Yes.
There's no more making drawings and all this metalwork and stuff. We have 3D printers that produce products. I mean, we've got to, you know, recognize that very point and be willing to take the risk to allow these technologically advanced individuals to take money and go out and make this happen.
Yeah. Larkin, them 3D printers, it's called additive manufacturing. They're awesome. Instead of subtractive manufacturing, where you're taking a block and whittling something out of it, the 3D printer is additive manufacturing, where you grow it, like you said, from a print. It's unbelievable. Boeing aircraft is flying a hinge that's drawn and then produced in the box, and then you bring it out, run it underwater, it separates the hinge pin, and it's flyable. So that's how you compete with your foreign nations on the cheap labor.
Right.
And doing it here in the United States, you're right.
The platform's changed. The rules have changed. Did it happen? Yes. Should there be a handful of politicians that paid for the mistake that they allowed to happen? Yes. But it wasn't an issue. Nobody made it an issue. We've made it an issue, and it's going to get corrected. As a matter of fact, I see it being corrected now, because people want desperately to put Made in America on their products. They all do. I got something the other day, and if I think hard enough, it was like a loaf of bread or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
You're right.
And I looked underneath, it said Made in America. I mean, they said that very proudly. So we've accomplished that end. But now let's start addressing the fix. What is it really going to take to, and it's not staring at labels. It is creating a demand. I don't disagree with that. It is talking to people about what they expect and what they're looking for, because you give me a demand and I'll give you a product. If I don't see a demand, I'm going to keep on buying what I'm buying. So I buy that. I agree with that. That's a basic tenet of free enterprise. But, you know, I just think we need to start awarding attaboys and prizes and plaques or whatever. $100 checks, step up to the plate, Rich. $100 checks for somebody that comes up with a great idea.
Yeah, find a want, fill a want, or find a need and fill a need, right, Larkin?
Right, exactly. Thank
That's
you, Mark.
What it is.
Thank you.
Lark, I mean, Mark, I'm pleading with you to follow Larkin's advice and come up with that toaster. I mean, we will
oh,
all.
Oh, it's coming. We just got to, you know.
We will all, Larkin, we'll all make money because once the toaster is done, the outline of the toaster is done, you then have to have people to make it, box it, ship it, and sell it in the stores. We want to fill all those jobs with Americans, and Mark wants that toaster 100% made
Mike,
in America.
As soon as Bill Gates or Warren Buffett calls me, I'm ready to go. We've got the game plan set.
Yep, exactly.
The phones are polished. I've been waiting 7 years for it to ring.
So, listen, I applaud what Mark has moved this. He has moved this. He has taken this movement and single-handedly moved it forward. So far, it's not even funny. And there will be there'll be a Mark Andel Boulevard, I guarantee you, and he'll get all the adulation he deserves because he did. You know why? Because he took a risk. He believes in something. He believed it needed to be fixed, and he took a risk. He really laid his you know what out on the table, and said, "I'm going to fix this." And at no juncture, I'm sure there were plenty of times he laid in bed next to his wife staring at the ceiling going, what the heck have I done? What kind of corner have I painted myself into? But when he got up and put his bib overalls on and walked out on the street and said, okay, now I got to get back after it, there wasn't an ounce of hesitation in what he did. None. And it's contagious. We all know that. We've all played part and party to that contagious atmosphere. And so... that's what we got to do. Mark's an answer. We're an answer to a point, but I think we can be so much more of an answer if we really would step up to the plate and start talking about fixes.
And, you know, Mark, maybe, Larkin, you brought something to mind. Mark, since Fisher-Price is close to you, maybe you could get a representative of Fisher-Price to come on the broadcast and say a few words to the people and let us know why they are abroad and what they can do to come back here.
I'll look
to the
into
USA.
It. They're only 5 minutes to headquarters
yeah.
from us.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. The thing is, too many Americans got soft over the years, and they didn't support America. They didn't want to make a lot of noise. That has changed. Everything has changed. It's now for us to be very noisy and spend our dollars where we know it's going to help America first. Larkin, closing remarks.
Well, I applaud everything that we've done. I abhor what's happened in Washington as much as anybody else. And I think it's time that we start a movement that comes up with answers. Answers the equivalent of what Mark Andel has come up with.
God bless you. Thank you for being and having a great weather down there as we're sitting here freezing today. I would like to take this note. To say thanks to Mike Sessions from Go For Made in America. You can find his link on the front page. Also, Jude Watkins contacted me from AmeriLoop. Take a check on his site on the front page as you also go there and click on Mark's picture and the Made in America store. A rich closing remark.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be back. I just want to give a particular shout out to all my people in New York listening today. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Very good. Mark.
Yeah, I just want to say great thanks for the kind comments, Larkin. I owe you some ice. I'm going to send you some ice down there. It's a team effort, guys. Wonderful job to everybody. And let's just keep it up.
Keep it up. Larkin, come up with 10 ideas for next week's broadcast, and let's share them as you do your Christmas list. Let's do the Larkin. Let's get America back on her feet again. Until this Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Please do send the rebroadcast of today's show to all of your family members and friends. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys.